Well, we're still teaching on the subject of John's letters to the church, which is 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. But we're not just looking at scriptures, but we're you know, comparing things too with other writers. It's one thing you always want to do is compare things with other people wrote. You don't ever build doctrines on one scripture. A lot of people do that. They build doctrines off of one scripture. And you will always find that any doctrine of the Bible that's of any major importance, always, it's spoken many times. In fact, you know, I can always, but even things that John spoke here, you can see things written in the Old Testament about it. You know, you can see things all through the Scriptures, so we'll always see it. And that's one thing, as we safeguard ourselves. Kenneth Hagin used to, and I, you know, got it from him, and it's true. It says he always used to use the Scripture, by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And that's a good thing to do. So you always look at, establish it, and make sure that there's other witnesses of it before you just go ahead and take it. It's so. Last week we were dealing in the areas and talking about knowing. We looked at, I think it was 42 times in the 1 John alone, that the word know and its derivatives are in 1 John. Well, it's not a very big writing, so he talked a lot about knowing. And that's really an important thing, dealing in the areas of knowing. There's stuff that you must know. We start off in believing, but we come to the place of knowing because we're born again. We have the Spirit of God in us. You have the nature of God yourself. I mean, that's an incredible thing itself, that you and I have the nature of God. Our born again human spirit was born after the nature of God. And then on top of that, the Holy Spirit was given to us, and He lives inside of us. So He's a great teacher, the one who guides us and leads us into the truth. So we as believers should come to the places where, you know, believe God, but we come to the place to know that's true. We should have this knowing inside of us about things. And especially as we develop more and more in the Word, we should be settled in knowing things are true. And we'll talk a little bit about that, because we'll read some scriptures, some of the things that are said here this morning, in scriptures and dealing with these. Looking at what we had talked about in this area of knowing, and we went over into some things of what John said about things that we should know and why John wrote the letters. And we looked at the fact where he talked about the assurances, or the basis of our assurance, and which is really, is we need to understand as Christians, we have to have an assurance. You'll find that many people out here, even if they're drilled in other religions and other things, you know, I've met people many times, you know, who, you know, their religious belief, they believe, well, they're going to go to heaven because, you know, and they're drilled, you know, maybe they were born and raised in their religious belief, and they have this religious beliefs, and they've just been, they bought them as true, but yet they'll talk about them, they believe it's true, but yet when you watch their lives, there's a lot that they live that they're not certain about what they say they believe. And you have to come to a place of knowing. As one thing is that the Word of God, if you believe the Word of God, the Word of God will give you an assurance in you. And the knowing, you know, is the Word of God only gives you the same assurance that somebody does in another religion? There's something wrong. Because how do we know who's right? We need to understand that when we're talking about believing and about the assurance of knowing, I'm not talking about like the world knows something, or people just generally believe something. The Word of God will put things in you that I know for certain that it's true, and I know without a doubt, I don't care, you could get everybody in the world to say something different about it, and I'm sorry, I know on the inside of me certain things are true. I know it. And you know that, and it's a knowing, and it isn't knowing because you're bright. I just know by the Spirit in me. I know by my own human spirit and by the Holy Ghost in me, and you're supposed to know that. You got to come to that place. That's where you can stand strong in faith, because there will always be things of doubt come. There will always be. I mean, look at the religions that are in the world and the beliefs that people have and the stuff that goes on. Look what goes on around. I mean, just go in Christianity. Listen to the stuff that goes on and people believe. I mean, when we have a good percentage today of Christians who say they're born again and believe that you can get to heaven other ways. I mean, dear God, we got to know something. If somebody ain't listening to somebody paying attention, either they ain't born again. I believe some of them probably started out born again, but they're today, they have listened to so many other things. They're not even in contact with their human spirit anymore. They live out the reasonings of their mind. You know, they got their little, you know, things that they believe. They sit and listen to wrong stuff. And we'll talk about those things today. We went through all these things about knowing and how we can know that we like pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. We talked about that. That's knowing. We know because of righteousness, it said. And, it's talking about those that we know, it says, who practice righteousness is born of him. So people aren't practicing righteousness. There's a question, should be a big question mark that we as believers, because there's one thing they're going to have a big question mark. They can tell you and say to you, I've had people tell me, well, I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm saved. And they don't live right at all. They're saying that out of their mind. Most of the time they'll say that to you because they're just mad that they would get questioned about what they do. And so they do it more out of, you know, their stubbornness than dealing with anything. You can't walk in a light of knowing while you just over here live any old way you want to. The Holy Ghost ain't going to say to you, oh, you're fine, you're okay. Yep, you're doing good. Don't worry, just keep sinning. He's not going to do that to you. You're not going to have the assurance. And now we talked about the fact, because it doesn't mean that we never miss the mark. We're talking about people who practice. I mean, there's people out here who say they're Christians, and they have never lived righteous. They never live righteous. They practice sin all the time. Say, oh, I'm saved. Good luck. And I wouldn't want to go there. But we talked about we can know concerning the love of God if we obey His commandments. So in other words, we look at, you know, do we really have something or don't we? Is Christianity really having something? Or is it just another religion? Well, for many, it's just another religion. It's no different than Buddhism. It's no different than being a Hindu. It's no different than being a Muslim. It's no different than being whatever other religion out there. It's identically the same because their religion or their belief has no value in their life to bring change. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ changed Ed's life. My God. It changed Ed's life. And we're going to look today is one of the reasons that John wrote his letter was to warn against false teachers and heresy. It's one of the reasons he wrote it. And we're going to look at this specifically into this area in 1 John, in John's writings into this area. And in 1 John, we're going to go to the second chapter. And in 1 John, I am going to start, I want to read, there's scripture, but I'm going to start at 24, because I want to read, there's one scripture, he talks about deception, but I think if we read in its context, sometimes we have scriptures and we really lose the meaning of them when we just pull that scripture out. And the scripture that what John said in verse 26 says this, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But I want you to back up because now we're going to read it in the context of what he was talking about when he says about this deception. Because there's people trying to deceive, but how do you keep from being deceived? And John really talks about that and he says why he's writing this stuff that he's writing, why he's writing this. He's dealing with it. In verse 24 says, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Now, John's talking about this. When John's talking about what they heard from the beginning, he's talking about what the beginning that he taught them. Remember, John's writing them, and remember when John wrote to them at the starting of 1 John, and he said to them, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which our eye, with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And it said that life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested to us, and it's dealing with Christ Jesus. In other words, he's telling you, look, we came in, really, John is writing to these believers and saying, look, because John was one of the men who established them, who taught them in the beginning. who taught them the things that Jesus, they learned with Jesus, walked with Jesus. He turned around, took those things and taught them to people. So he says this to them. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. Why? Because we found out that people were trying to change that. What was they heard in the beginning? About who Jesus was. And he says, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Now, did you hear, you know, in the beginning? See, now here's one thing is, I'm convinced about this. If John walked with Jesus and John, you know, was with him and John wrote these things about him, John saw him before his death, burial, and resurrection. John saw him after the death, burial, and resurrection. These guys walked with him in his 3.5 years of ministry. So these guys did know him a bit. They had sure sat under a lot of teaching during that time with him. And so when John writes these things, here's one. He said, John said, if you abide in these things that we taught you, he said, the things which you heard from the beginning, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in him. How do we abide in Christ? See, people talk about abiding in Christ. We abide in Christ by the word or the truth that's in us. It's how you abide in him. If the doctrine that I believe is wrong, I don't care how much I believe it. I don't care how what it says. I'm not abiding in Christ. I'm abide in Christ no more than I abide in the truth that I believe and I live in or I abide in. That's how he abides in me. And see, we need to get over into that. Because why? What are they dealing with? The truth is being changed. People are trying to teach them other things than what they were taught. He said, and this is the promise that he promised us, eternal life. In other words, you can't believe other stuff and have eternal life. You can't believe it and have it. Then that's when he turns around and says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. The people that are trying to move you off the foundation that you were taught of who Jesus is. The foundation, John and them taught, you know, he was the Savior of the world. He died. He took people's sin. He was raised from the dead for the justification of men. That there's no other way to be saved. And they taught this and is staying on this thing. You know, there's no other way to do it. Today we have all this stuff that's trying to move people off because God is love. Oh, he's just accepting everybody and everything's good and everything. I'm sorry. You can't go on to believing that and have eternal life. John just said you can't. I definitely, 100%, do not believe in once saved, always saved. And I'm going to show you that John and them didn't believe it either. They didn't believe such things. You can't go off and believe the wrong things about Jesus, who he is. You believe off wrong things about, you don't believe Jesus who he said he was, you know. People aren't going to turn around and believe Jesus was, you know, he is a guy that, but he wasn't the Son of God, you know, and Jesus wasn't God. And they're going to end up in heaven. I mean, if they do, well then, what would stop any other religious belief from ending up in heaven? If you can just believe what you want about who Jesus is, why even believe in Jesus at all? Does it really matter? And so, this is why he said these things. He said, I'm writing you. He said, concerning those who are trying to deceive you. Because he's telling you guys got to stay in line with what you were taught in the beginning about Jesus. Now listen, here's a scripture. Now this is, you don't want to ever pull the scripture out of context. And it's pulled out of context all the time. This is not a scripture to be pulled out of by itself. Never. This scripture is never, yet people do it all the time. Because it says this, and it's the only place that makes a statement, but we need to know it in the context that it's written in. He says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Now, I want you to think about this. Is John telling people that there's not teachers in the church and nobody needs to listen to anybody teach? He can't be talking. Yet people pull this scripture out all the time and say, I don't need to be taught. The Bible says so. Well, that's funny. John's writing them a letter teaching. So they don't need to listen to John, do they? John's not talking about that. John's talking about the anointing in you that teaches you. You listen to the anointing in you. You listen on the end. The Holy Ghost, you have the Holy, now understand, when you're dealing with the anointing, you're dealing with the Holy Spirit. You're dealing with the Holy Spirit. He's the anointing. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all, oppressed the devil because God was with him. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. What he's talking about, listening to men teach and listening to people teaching under the anointing. There's a difference. The anointing. Most people today don't know the difference between a guy who's anointed by God talking and somebody who's just a good eloquent speaker and is just really good, has been trained to talk. Oh yeah, people will listen to people and they have no anointing from God, but they're great. They talk and say a lot of things people like to hear and people listen and flock to them. And they have no anointing. People don't know what the difference between the anointing. And that's why if you don't stick with the things of God, You're going to have trouble in the areas of the anointing. You ain't going to hear it. You're going to hear what's teaching because it ain't going to be moving in the direction. You know, the Holy Ghost is not an intellectual teacher. He reveals things in your spirit to you. And if you listen on the inside, he's talking about human teachers. These human teachers are coming along and trying to teach them things. He's saying, no, you stay in line with the things that you were already taught. Well, if you don't need a teacher, then why would you stay in line with what you taught? But he's talking, if you'll listen on the inside of you, you have an anointing yourself. You do. And you need to know that. You have the Holy Spirit in you as a teacher. The Holy Spirit in you, if you listen, will bear witness with you with the Spirit that people teach with. You'll know things. It's like I talked before to you guys about, I missed it where the Holy Ghost tried to show me we're an individual. Stay away from an individual. And I didn't. But, because everything looked good on the outside. Everything looked nice. But it turned out it wasn't nice. Things weren't right. So, what he's dealing with here is listening on the inside of you. Listening to your inner man, your spirit. And really, that's the part where he's talking about abiding. The word that's in you, not the word that's in your brain. It's the word that's in your heart. Faith is produced of the heart. It's not produced of the mind. The mind can't produce faith in God. The mind can't save you. It can't do that. Faith in the heart, confess with the mouth, will save you. And so he's talking about what you get. He's talking about what abides in you, and he talks about abiding in him. You don't abide in God with your mind. You can't. You abide in God with your spirit, with what's on the inside of you, the word in you. You walk by faith with what's in you, because with what's in you is most of the time going to be different than what's going on the outside. It's contrary. And so he's talking about that, and we need to understand. He's talking here about spiritual things, not physical things. So anybody comes along and you would say, well, they don't need a teacher and they don't need this. I just ignore them. I mean, because they are definitely in left field. Because, Paul wrote and said, God put the apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher in the church to perfect the saints. And they say, we don't need them. And they try to pull one scripture out of context to make it say what they want to hear. See, I don't need to. I can be a good Christian without. No, you can't. I will tell you this. Without listening to other anointed teachers, there's things you may never, ever learn, never understand or ever know. I mean, you think about this from the natural. How many of you have ever heard a child never being given a book or ever taught to read or anything like that, just picks up how to read and picks up a how to read stuff. They just, out of the clear blue, it just comes to them, how to read. Did you ever have that happen? What do we have to do? We have to teach them, don't we? I mean, there's nothing, it's totally ludicrous for an individual to think that they wouldn't need anybody else. In other words, I'll figure everything out and I'll just get it all and I don't need to listen to anybody else and I don't need to... That's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. You couldn't read after John. You couldn't read after Paul and come up with the idea that you didn't need to listen to anybody else. I mean, dear God, so this we know. They don't even listen to the Bible. They don't listen to it. So pay attention to it. I'll just throw verse 28 in here because look what John says. John says, and now little children abide in him. Why do you want to abide in Him? Now, you abide in Him, we found out how you do that. You abide in Him through the Word that's in you. That's how you abide. Staying in line with the Word that was taught, the foundational stuff, the things that Scripture say, stick with it. Stick with it. He said, why? That when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him when He's coming. Well, John wouldn't have said that if everybody's going to be confident when He comes. There's going to be loads of people who are going to be ashamed when Jesus shows up. There is a loads of people who have been born again who are going to be ashamed when Jesus shows up. Because they have not walked and abided in Him. They didn't live in the truth. They went off and believed other stuff. And they're going to be ashamed when He shows up. When He appears. And that's why He wrote it. Why would He say this to these people if it didn't matter? See, we have this crazy teaching today. You're saved. Don't worry, you're all right. Don't matter what you do, you're okay. Go ahead, have a big one. Well, they didn't teach that. They didn't teach those things. I mean, you don't want to get into heaven by just, my God, it's just been almost bare luck. because you're going to have to face, everybody's going to have to face Jesus and gets to heaven. What are you going to say to Him? If you didn't really care about Him and care about what He said or what are you going to say? I mean, it's just going to be when it should be a wonderful time when we get to have our personal interview with Jesus. Personally get to meet Him. And our personal meeting is, my God, He looks at you and, who are you? That's what it's going to be. So you know what? You're here in spite of you. Nah, we want better than that, don't we? But he said that John had written this and said he wrote these things because those who try to deceive. The word deceive here is the idea of this, is to tempt to evil or wrongdoing. That's what they're doing. Understand this. False teaching leads people to evil and to wrongdoing. That's what it does. See, people may not intend to do wrong, but that's the whole purpose. The devil wants to lead you into evil. See, people have this idea today, is like, we get so much in our vocabulary about, people use the words in Christianity about, well, I made a mistake. No, it was a sin. You don't need to repent for mistakes. If you were adding, two and two and you said it was five, you don't need to repent for that. You don't need to go to God and ask Him to forgive you. That's a mistake. Sin, that's another thing. And this is what it is. This evil and this wrongdoing is dealing in the areas to sin. If you would be taught and believe that Jesus isn't who He said He was, it's going to lead you to an immoral life. And when I say immoral, I'm not talking about just sexually. It's going to lead you into immoral things, to making wrong decisions about stuff. If, really, the moral decision of who Jesus is a huge moral decision when a man finds out who Jesus really is. And to leave that is really a huge moral mistake, because there's no people that believe that Jesus is somebody other than who He says He is that don't lead them into immoral lives, where they don't walk in the light of truth and they'll end up doing things that you just don't want to do. It's one thing to be to sin. It's another thing where you end up, because of wrong belief, where you practice sin. And just think of the fact that the people, you believe these things, and what happens, you believe them, you'll start telling other people they're true. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to stand before, there's things that all of us, maybe, we don't know, and sometimes we think certain things are certain ways, and they're not. But it isn't from a standpoint, we aren't going out trying to get people intentionally believing something's wrong. People go out here, and if you believe the wrong things about who Jesus is, and you start preaching it to other people, you're leading other people off to hell. I'll tell you what, I can't see where somebody's leading other people off to hell and they're going to end up in heaven. I have a hard time believing that. I mean, I I don't even want to believe that. I don't want to go there. And this is what happens, because people don't understand the evil of this. They say, well, the person got trapped. It doesn't make any difference if the person believed. They had a choice about what they believed. They could have stayed with the truth. They decided to believe that. We're not going to stand before Jesus and say, well, you know what, I just, hey, Jesus, I just messed up. No biggie. You know, I didn't believe you were the, you know, I got over, I don't think you're really the Son of God after all. You know, I thought, didn't, you know, things. I thought you were a pretty nice guy. And, yeah, well, you know, and you were taught that he was, and you accepted me as that, but you turned. Well, yeah, you know, people mess up. You know how it is. I don't think it's going to go that way. So, and really, we need to, because this deception is, well, the whole thing of it is, it tempts people to evil and in the areas of sin and into wrongdoing, and that's its purpose. Now, I want to go over to read to Peter. I want to go over to 2 Peter. And 2 Peter is a short letter. But I want we're going to read the entire second chapter. Because I want to read it because he's talking in the same light here of what John's talking. But he goes into much greater detail. And I want you to read this because I believe that generally when people read these things, lots of times they're looking at people, they don't realize that we're going to find the context to what he's writing is these type of people are in the church because of what he talks about. They're in the church. And see, people don't realize it. Because you'd say, well, my words, these people would be spotted if they were in the church. I learned this a long time ago. I mean, you don't think about it in our nation, a deception. Do you realize how many Christians voted for our president? Huge amounts. How did they do it? Did he look like when he wanted to get into office? Did he look like he had a tail, a pitchfork? Did he look like he... No. When people told people how bad he was, oh man, they just demonized the people who said it. You know, I didn't know who the man was, but I knew this. I knew there was a bunch of evil to this guy. This guy was evil. I knew that he was a liar. You know, people turn around and said, he said in the beginning about he didn't believe homosexual marriage. He started off, you know, he said, marriage between a man and a woman. I knew as sure as I was walking the face of this earth, he was lying. I knew he was lying. I knew he was a liar. See, if you walk in truth on the inside of you, you're going to know things. And this is where people, they don't walk in truth in the inside. They become a target for the devil to deceive them. They become targets. And the devil knows it. And they will always... Hey, people who don't walk in the truth, they don't need to know that they're going to be in trouble with this. This thing's going to get them in trouble. Because the devil is going to... He's going to get... There's nothing nice about Satan. He's never been a good guy. He fell. Maybe he started off good. But there's no good in him now. There's not even a tinsy, eensy, bincy little bit. There's not even a little speckle of nice. It's not there. He's totally devoid of love. And being totally devoid of love, it is impossible for there to be any good. There's no good. So he's a deceiver. That's his big thing. Satan deceives people into believing wrong things about truth. He doesn't come along and tell you that the Bible's not true. If somebody come and told you, walked and said to you, the Bible's not true, well, we'd all just, you know, we'd know he's an idiot, stay away from him. But people who do that never do that. They never do it. It's just like our president did. He came into all this stuff, he came into office and said all these things when he first was running, all these things, all of it ended up to be lies. It all ended up to be not true. Why? They'll come and tell you all that you want to hear. Understand this, deceivers will always come to you and tell you what you want to hear. This is how people get deceived, because they accept a person just because they're saying what they want to hear. You can't judge a person just because they said what you want to hear. That doesn't mean what they are. Just because there's many Christians out here who know what's true, and they're born again and still don't live right. Just because a person says and knows something that's true, that doesn't mean they're a good person. They're doing good. It doesn't mean it. And this is why. You got to learn to protect yourself. We have all this bit where they took Jesus, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to listen to that stuff, you're going to end up being one of the gullible mess that's going to turn around and get you in a whole lot of trouble. You got to learn to protect yourself. Until you know a person, you got to keep some kind of distance between yourself and accepting things about them. That's not being mean. That's only good sense. Do you realize how many people would have never gotten in trouble in life if they would have just good? How many people? You know, most people that get into problems and things dealing with other people, it's because they accept them immediately. They accept them immediately. And so that person talks them into doing stuff. Do you ever think about how many times, you know, they have a split, you know, guy meets a girl, really nice to her and everything else, takes her out and rapes her. Puts herself in a compromise, and you know what? He rapes her, he gets her out somewhere alone. She accepts who he is immediately because he was nice. Well, he was really nice. Oh! Do you think a rapist runs around and says, look, I want to rape you, would you please come with me? Let's go someplace together, alone. You know, they put themselves, people put themselves, you know, even you get guys or and even men and women do things, deceive other people by over a period of time. That's why Jesus said, you know, by their fruit you'll know. It's one thing is you wait. You just don't jump and swallow something. Now, if somebody tells you what the Bible says, you read the Bible and it's true, that's good. But you got to watch receiving the person. We're followers of Christ. We're not followers of people. You know, I didn't follow Kenneth Hagin. I followed his teaching. He was a man. That's why he, and you know, he was the right kind of man because he'd say, don't take it because I say it. Read it in the scriptures to see if it's there. So he did that. So let's read this thing because this is a warning that Peter is writing. This is written to Christians. This wasn't written to the world. This is written to Christians for their protection. This is written for your protection. Because I will guarantee you, every one of you and anybody that will listen to this teaching needs to know this. You are around and have been around in the past many times with people just like this. We may not have seen them in their full fruition, but this is what they are. And we understand, Peter's writing how God sees these people, what they really are on the inside. Hey, people can live entire lives and don't portray how the depth of their evil on the inside, the way that they really are. There's people walk around the outside smiling, saying they like you, and on the inside they hate your guts. They wouldn't care if anything happened to you. They couldn't care less. They never display that to you, but that's what's going on in the inside. And we need to know that's what God judges is what's going in. But this is about protecting, and we can. Peter wrote in the second chapter, he says, but there will be also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. He said there will be false teachers among us. He didn't say they're going to be outside the church. He didn't say this is in the world false religions teaching. He said they're going to be among us. And there are. People get in among us and they teach wrong things. You know, sometimes people get deceived. Paul wrote about people who got deceived. He talked about, being deceived, doctrines of devils. People come along and end up yielding over and accept wrong things. Now, when they do that, they get to teach them, especially you have to watch this. A certain individual may not be as influential on you as just a normal person, as somebody who's a teacher or a minister of the word. Also, you need to understand this. The more popular they are, the more effect they can have in their teaching. It's like Randy Greer said. He said, a person who's going to deceive people the most is usually going to be a person who is very popular, is going to deceive people. He's a popular among groups of people, and he will start to, if he's been deceived, listen to this, a teacher who has been deceived is going to be teaching his deception. So this is what you need to know. That's why I always appreciate Kenneth Hagin. He used to say, check me out in the Word. Check me out. They're among us. Now, we're not trying to attack anybody. I'm not attacking, but I'm just telling you, this is our warning. Peter wrote this to us. It's as valid today as it was at any time that you and I. So in other words, you and I want to always check things out in the Word. We base it. You know, I don't, if Kenneth Hagin would have taught things outside from what the Word of the basis of what Peter, James, and John and Paul and them wrote about Jesus and things, if he would have told different stuff, well, man, I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't have paid no attention to him. They're the foundation. This is the foundation of stuff we believe. The things that were written about Jesus in the Gospels and the letters written to the church, that's what we have to know about Him specifically. So everything that's going to be taught is going to find its foundation in this. There may be things that, you know, we can see maybe a little bit further into because we're born again, but the foundation of it's all in here. You can never move away from its foundation. Never. Foundation. And this is the foundation. So you stay with this. You know, Peter said and John said, and that's where Ed's going to stick with. I don't know what everybody else is going to do. They can all say whatever they want. But I'm going here. Because this is going to keep me in the place where I need to walk. He said, there are among you who will what? Secretly. Now under this, they do it how? Secretly. Now if somebody's doing something secretly, then you don't know about it, do you? They're secret. Or if you know all about it, it wasn't a secret. Was it? Now see these people, they secretly come in. They secretly bring in destructive heresies. And you know what? Now this just says, even denying the Lord who bought them and bringing on themselves swift destruction. You know, now just say, there's people who have come along and who have taught things, and they play along like they're nice along in the years of Christianity, and they don't believe at all who Jesus is. There's been people over the years who have been caught in this stuff, but you know what? They aren't publicly announcing it to Christians when they come along. They secretly come in like they're a Christian, like, I believe what you believe. Well, what do you, what, you know what? That's when you ask them. How would you know that? You don't know me. I want to know what you believe. You need to learn to do that with people. Well, you know, don't assume that somebody, just because they say they're a Christian. I learned a long time ago, people who say they're a Christian, there's so much deception out here. I've met loads of people who said they were Christian. My God, they ain't no Christian at all. And if you start talking to people about beliefs and what they really believe. So we're told this. It says, and many, listen to this. What do you say is going to happen? Many, many, who's he writing to? Believers. He said many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. See, deception is brought over a period of time. You know, you're not a very good deceiver if you come along and try to deceive somebody and just blurt it out. You're not going to be good at it. They don't do what they do. You know, people over time preach deception. Sometimes people take years to slowly bring in their stuff. Oh, they play at it over. Well, look at our president. He took his whole first presidency to really show what he really was. And you know what? These people are so deceived that many today still don't believe it is. They bought the deception so well. He brought it in so slowly. They didn't realize all that they had swallowed. And loads of Christians are walking around totally deceived. They're all deceived. Christians are deceived, carried off by things now that they believe. Oh, yeah, you know, God loves everybody. We're trying now. You know, He wants us to get, oh, yeah, we're going to join together with the Muslims. I mean, the churches have bought it. They have listened. We've got big name leaders who have bought this junk that has come out following in these paths. Well, see, He didn't bring it in all at once. He slowly, secretly. Now, you need to understand this. It wasn't a secret to us. Why? If you know the truth makes you free. If you know what's true, you can see the lie coming. This is why you always, when something comes along and it don't sound right to you, put the brakes on immediately. If somebody don't like you putting the brakes on to something, they don't really care about you to begin with. If you need to check something out, you check it out. You go ahead and you do it. If anybody's trying to push you past something just to take something, you got to look at them and tell them, no, I ain't going there. And if you do that, I've had people already where I told them, I don't want you hanging around with me because you try to push me into stuff, push you into trying to believe in stuff and doing stuff. Just tell them, say, no, you go jump. I don't want to be around you. Because why? I know this. They don't care about me. You know, it don't even matter if a person's right. If you, a person has to come to a place where they believe what's right. I can't believe it's right just because they do. You can't force a person. A person has to come to the point they believe it. And somebody who's trying to force somebody, well, that ain't gonna, I'm going to tell you what, it causes more trouble. And so you don't want to even go there. Many are going to follow their destructive ways because it says, of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. It says, now listen to this, and you need to get this, why they do what they do. By covetousness. By covetousness. They will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Listen. By covetousness, they exploit you. These people are covetous. Covetous is the lust and huge desire for stuff, money, whatever. Also for things somebody else has. Like your checking account, your bank account, your credit card. And you know what they also they play on? They play on the covetousness of the people they're talking to. That's why I have always been really slow in the areas about things about money, because I don't want to get over in the area of covetousness. I don't want to get into the area of stuff. Why? Because you become a target for deception. We got ministers on TV, and all they do is, talk about you giving me money. That's all they talk about. They do it every day that they're on television. It ain't to send me an offering. No, you know, if you want to be blessed, you got to send me this. God told me this. If you'll give me $1,000. God, I'm going to tell you what. These men are a wrong spirit. God doesn't have a man standing on TV. Did we see the disciples teach that way? Did you ever see Jesus teach like that? God told me if you give me $1,000, he's going to bless you. Jesus said, if you give me 50 shekels, I'll... See, these guys are that, hey, there is nothing. Jesus told appeared to Kenneth Hagin one time and talked to him about it. He said, it's all right to take offerings. He said, for your ministry, to do your ministry. But he told him this. He said, when God works through you when the Lord works through you in a mighty way for a healing or anything like that, he said, when a miracle takes place, like he said, a person whose maybe child was crippled and gets healed, walks, and the Lord said to him, they'll almost want to give you anything. He said, don't you take it. He said, don't you take it. He said, and you know what? Ministers take advantage of those things all the time. They use what God does miraculous to draw money out of people. And Jesus told him, don't you do that. He said, because people will give you almost anything you'll ask of them, they'll do for you. He said, don't do it. Don't do that. But we have these guys out here, and that's exactly what they do. And here's what they are. Now, you need to understand this. This is calling these type of people blasphemers. You know, we don't deal with it. This is what, hey, Ed did say, people can't get ding, listen to this and say, oh, did you hear what Ed said about them? This is Ed. This is what Peter said about them. Get mad at Peter. Peter said they're blasphemers. They blaspheme the way. These guys are blaspheming. He said they're by the covetousness they exploit. They use covetousness. They are covetous, and they also the covetousness of people they get a hold of. That's why you want to develop. You don't want to just become a lover of things and want stuff all the time. Stuff. That shouldn't be the things that move us. I'm a big believer. You can have stuff. I believe, you know, God wants us to live good and have good. But they can't be the things that motivate us of what we are, what we do. And this is what motivates these people. And if I have covetousness in me, and I've seen it, I've watched people who become covetousness and follow after these people, and they do it by their own covetousness. It's their love of stuff. And that's what covetousness is, love of stuff. It's love of things. And we need to, the Bible says, and it says in the New Testament, that covetousness is idolatry. It is worshiping another god. A person makes things god. In other words, this is their god. Their god is stuff. They're after stuff, and they're deceiving people by their covetousness. They're getting people that want stuff. They go over. You know, you may legitimately want things, but you have to watch that the things that you don't want become things that you crave after that, you know. That don't mean to go lay down and go starve to death if you don't have food. No. I would go after it. It'd be a good thing. But you know, you know what I'm talking about with people, how they just go after things. And you know what? What's sad to say? Look how much of the spirit-filled world has been left, you know, has followed off into this stuff. Where it's all about, you know, the big, the most, the, all this stuff, and you got to have everything, and you got to, and you know, God wants to bless us with money, so money is everything. No, it's not. So we're told about this. The sad thing about this destruction that's coming. It's a long time this destruction is coming on them. It says it's not going to wait. It's going to come. These people are doing it. It's going to come. I'm going to tell you what. Randall Greer prophesied it, and he talked about it. And I'm going to tell you what. I know myself it's true. Kenneth Hagin did. Kenneth Hagin said men will fall dead in their pulpits. You know, do you know that's happened here in recent years, that men have fallen dead in their pulpits? Now, you don't have much said about anything in the media. Or you definitely don't have the Christians talking about it, because the preachers don't talk about it because it scares them to death. Because they were preaching when that guy preached. But they is wild. You know, on the outside, people can look good. The inside, the whole reason. There's people that are in ministry for one reason, and that's covetousness. They're trying to get stuff from people. Always trying to get things from people. I've been around ones like, I've been around ministers, and they're always trying to get stuff out of you. Always trying to get something from you. We had a minister, a ministry, a man and wife came to our church a number of times in years past. But they got over the point, the only time they ever contacted me was they wanted nothing. They wanted something. Every time I ever got anything from them, if I got an email from them or anything, or a phone call, it was always to get something. And I just shut them off, because they don't have no care about our ministry or our people. They only, when they want something, then they always after something. That's our target. We were good to them, and they found out we were good to them when they came. We're always good to people when they come, and we bless them good, and always take care of them good. So they see that, and what they become, you become a target to them. And that's all we became to them. And you know what? I wouldn't have them back in the church again. I'd never have them back, because I don't want that spirit in the church, because they'll follow that to get things out of people. They'll preach what they think people want to hear so they can get stuff. And I won't do it. I won't let them in the church again. They won't be back. I wouldn't allow it. Hallelujah. And I don't think you guys probably know who I'm even talking about, so don't. But see, that's one of the things. I've had people ask about, a long time ago, some people ask about them, about having them back in. I just, it hasn't worked out. Because I'm not going to tell generally people miss him. You know, they're scumbags. No, they're not. But they're operating. It's wrong. And I just don't want to, it's like me. I'm not moved by other people, but I don't want to bring that deception in the church, because everybody ain't the same place I am. You have people that don't know is what they're developing, they're growing, and because what happens is they end up taking advantage of them. You know, the wolf. Do you ever notice during the natural, the lions and stuff, they seek, and the wolf seeks the young or the ones that are weak and stuff, and they're the ones they eat. Do you ever notice that? They always show those things on TV and how they do in their hunts. You know, the lion don't go look for the biggest, baddest bull water buffalo and say, let's go get that one. They all sit around and say, yeah, well, you're going alone. But see what they do, and that's why I do it. My job is a shepherd, and I have to protect the sheep. That doesn't mean that none of us, we could make mistakes or somebody could believe something wrong. But there's certain things of certain doctrines and things that people do that I don't want. Especially if I think it's somebody is trying to fleece the flock, I'm sorry. We ain't going there. I really don't like that kind of thing. Now listen what it says here about these individuals. Now it goes on to say these things about, it says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned those to destruction, making them an example to those who would afterward would live ungodly." Do you see what he's saying? See, people today don't believe in judgment. I can name you big name preachers. I've heard them say it with their own voice. Boy, when 9/11 took place, oh, there's no judgment. There's nothing going on here. There's no judgment. Well, yeah, there are. God judges by turning around and let people have what they say. Do you think America is going to live in this ungodliness and we're going to be, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah was only, that judgment was for only them. We can have all this homosexuality and the government can let all this stuff and promote it and it's going to be all right? Peter, this is New Testament, just said concerning these people, they are examples to us of what's going to happen to people that are ungodly. He said it. This is example. Who's he writing about? These ungodly people in the church. These are ungodly people that are in the church. See, we have ungodly in the church today. Ungodly people who accept fornication, adultery, homosexuality, anything under the sun. They accept it all. They're in the church world today. They're in churches. They're ministers. I mean, we got churches ordaining homosexuals and lesbians and people lie, cheat, steal. It don't matter anymore. You just do whatever. This is why I know this. Loads of these so-called faith ministers out here don't read the Bible. They have their nice passages that they like and they preach and they don't tell people. And I'm sorry, I got it on tape. I realize I'm not going to be Mr. Popularity for sure. And I'm sure, you know, you ain't going to find the people in their 20,000 member churches are going to want to listen to Ed. They like that stuff. They hear from them. You're okay. All right. Keep doing what you're sending the checks. Do whatever you want. Don't matter. We're all going to heaven. You know, just, it don't matter. We love. This stuff was written. It said, why would it be an example to you and I if it has nothing to do with you and I? What was the point? Why would it be written? It's an example. It's an example of what happened. God never changes how he judges things. There's this crazy thing it says in the Bible, God changes not. The church preaches he don't. He's changed. Because Jesus came, the ungodliness don't get judged anymore. Like no, it don't. He changed. God didn't change. And he goes on to say, he said, who afterwards would live ungodly and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Isn't your soul being vexed? Don't your soul get vexed by all this trash going on? Well, if you don't, you ain't been listening to what's going on, or either you like what's going on. Our souls get vexed. We hear this stuff. Man, how do, you know, listen to this stuff going on out here. See, righteous people are being vexed by it. And you know what? God just told us he's going to judge them because of what they're doing to us. God's in the protection business of the righteous. You walk righteous, you don't worry. It might seem like you're losing, but you ain't ever going to lose. You know, it's like David said, man, it looks like the wicked out there, they're doing wicked, but it looks like they're prospering. Then he got over and started talking what the scriptures say about the wicked. And he started talking about their end. You know what? Washington and the gangs down there on both sides of the aisle might look like they're winning. But I'm going to tell you what, there's destruction coming. There's destruction coming. There's destruction coming. And I tell you what, Lot got delivered. And I'll tell you, we will be delivered. We will. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin this. He said, before things get to their worst, he said, I'm going to take the church. Well, we're sitting right now You know what? Are we sitting in Sodom and Gomorrah? Are we sitting in it? The spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah is running rampant in America. My word, you go over to Russia, Russia won't allow the stuff that America does. Putin mocked America because of their homosexuality and the fact that they live. He called America pagan in what they were doing. Can you imagine? See, America has become like what Israel was when they got into sin. They end up sinning worse than the unbelievers sin. America's already there. The American church, much of the American church sins worse than the world does. They do more evil things. They help promote homosexuality. They promote lesbianism. They promote adultery, fornication, lying, cheating, and stealing. They promote it. They're promoters. God showed Oral Roberts a few years before he died. He said about America, he said America, when America was founded, America became a nation. He said that sent out a ship to the world. He said a ship of the God was a gospel ship. And he said carried missionaries to the world. He said there's a ship America has sent out today. And he said we're sending our trash to the world. America, God said America is sending the trash to the world. The America today is trying to get the world to follow our paganism. We're doing everything we can to try to get the world to become as pagan as we are. That's what America's doing. See, God's view and man's view is two different things. Most of the church only sees man's view. See, when we talk about Peter, Peter sees all this as all very ugly and vile. Now, I will guarantee you, naturally, it probably didn't look near as bad for the natural. But Peter's talking about how God views this thing. God is fed up. It is evil. It is wicked. See, sin in the Bible says sin. You got to understand, sin is very sinful. Sin ain't sinful anymore in the church. It's not sinful. Sin's not sinful. And so he goes on around. He said, and the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how to. So in other words, this stuff is here to tempt us, but God's delivering us. And one of the ways God delivers, He destroys them. See, people don't realize that. You look all through the scriptures and look in the Old Testament, how when Israel or any people in Israel walked and lived right, how God protected them. Destruction would come. You go over and look at the, like Jeremiah. There's a wonderful picture of that in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's book is all about the destruction of Jerusalem and what happened, you know, coming up to it where God's trying to get Israel to turn, is Jerusalem to turn, and they don't, they won't. But Jeremiah calls in this one, heads of this one household, these leaders, who were end up in Jerusalem. And what they were more of a nomadic Jews. They traveled from place to place with their flocks and herds, you know, to feed. But because of the war that was going on, they had come into Jerusalem for protection into the city. But they were godly and walked godly. And what Jeremiah, you'll find out what he did is he came in before them. He set down bowls of wine before all of them to drink. And none of them would drink it. And he asked them why. They said because they mentioned their forefathers, their heritage. They said they forbid us to drink wine and so we don't drink wine. And so, but what he was doing is what he proved out was they followed the teaching, what they were taught. And he said to them because they followed God and they didn't do and. Didn't have about drinking wine, wasn't Jesus drank wine. But it wasn't about drinking wine. It was about they followed the teaching that they were taught. See, they didn't turn against God. They had stayed following God. And Nehemiah told them, don't you worry about what goes on and instruction that comes on Jerusalem. It's not going to happen to you. See, God knows how to deliver. See, don't you worry one iota about what's going to come on in America. Because there's things going. There's things that are going to come and shake this nation to its core, man. Don't you worry. Don't you be afraid. God knows how to deliver His people. God knows how. We're being told this. So, really, Peter's talking to believers about this. He's saying this stuff that's going on, basically, you walk right. Don't you worry about it. God's going to take care of you. But you want to know about these guys that are doing this stuff. He goes, for the day of judgment. Verse 10, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lusts of uncleanness, despise authorities, they are presumptuous, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before God. So, it's talking about them. In other words, they don't listen to authority. So in the church, they probably, these people won't listen to authorities in the church world either, but they don't on the outside. These people are rebellious. They live whatever they want and do whatever they want. Well, we see that spirit in America, don't we? It says, but these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. Now that there's, he's talking about carousing in daytime. You know what he's talking about? Openly sinning. In other words, sin becomes open. Have we done it in the church? Look at our church world, America. Sin's open. What the Bible calls sin, you can do it openly now. My God, I mean, you can be a pervert and be made a minister in a church. It's open. That's what he's talking about. Carousing in the daytime. It don't mean they're going out drinking booze in the daytime. Man, people have done that for years. You know, people do. He's talking about what they do is they're living in the flesh. That's what they do. They go out and it just in the open, completely in the open, doing these kind of things. Carousing, says, in their own deception. These are spot. Now listen to what it says. Listen to what it says about these individuals. It says, will perish in their corruption. In verse 13, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you. Now he's talking about what. Now they're joined into the church. These now you would think now this is most people would say they would say, oh my God, you'd know these kind of people in the church. These people have been working in the church for years. I knew a pastor who went through the Lancaster Seminary. They have a seminary down in Lancaster that the Methodist Church and the United Church of Christ both use. Now he went through that seminary back in the 70s. And you know what he told me in the 70s? They had homosexual professors in that seminary back then. You see, you know how these people got in? They slowly got in, and what they did is now, today, all these people are in the top positions in these churches and in these ministries. They slowly got in. See, back there, they had teachers back then. He said these guys were openly homosexual. In the seminary, down in Lancaster, so that they act like this big change came to the Methodists. This big change is United Church of Christ and Methodist. This has been going on for so long. If they were openly gay then, could you imagine when it started? That they had things working? He talked about what they did. He said they had professors. He said they would have like intramural sport things and stuff at the college. And he said, these teachers and stuff, he said, we play basketball and stuff. He said, they get mad and cuss you out, these professors. This is a seminary. It was more of a cemetery than it was seminary. And that's what they are. They're pagan, ungodly places. They're pagan, ungodly places. This is the one down in Lancaster. This is what this thing's been putting out for years. And we wonder why the churches got the way they are. This is what they've been pumping out. He said, yeah, this is the stuff that went on. He said, because he believed in being born again, and he believed in those things, he said, oh, they persecuted him all the time, ran him down, used to laugh at him in class, make fun of him because of his beliefs. This is out of their seminaries. This is their stuff going on. See, no wonder we have the stuff we have today. But you know, see, people sit around, they look down here at this nice, oh, they don't openly do this. They promote it. They send money to this stuff. People give offerings and are giving to that stuff to keep that stuff running. And they have been doing it for years. And here's what he's talking about. They're among us. They feast among us. See, lots of people don't know it, but they slowly deceive. They get in. They're in the church. Some of the translations leave the idea that they're in our love feast. That's what they talk about, being in your love feast. In other words, they come and take communion with you. They come and take communion. And they're not believing at all what the Word says. So just because you see people in the church doing something. I've known people that have come to our church, and I've known they ain't been right, living right. They don't believe what right. And they'll just sit and take communion and they'll do stuff and then you know. Me and I thinking, you're crazy. I know. This stuff is going, folks, this stuff is going to be in, it's already in among us in the church world. And it's so gotten so, you know, that people didn't pay any attention to it, that it has taken over a huge part of the church world. It's in America. A huge part of the church world has been taken over by it. Because why? You don't read these scriptures. These aren't for us. They're from some other group of people. Let's see where I'm at on it. Okay. I'm going to stop here on that. And we're going to pick up reading the rest of this chapter because this goes down. I want to read the rest of it because this is talking about people that are in the church world. This is not talking about people out here that are sinners running around out here, the atheists running around here trying to get across to them. These are the ones, the most destructive ones of the church, are not the atheists. While the church sits around and fights about an atheist taking a cross down, in amongst their own midst, there's people who are rising up and preaching false doctrines and different things. All that deception, that's the worst of worst. And they don't even do nothing about that. And they're worried about the guy removing a cross. You can take all the crosses you want. Crosses don't save anybody. Those crosses don't matter. But see, people get off, they get caught on the outside, and where the real deception's going on is right inside the church. It's gotten in on the inside. Hallelujah. So we'll go on about this because what we're talking about is protecting ourselves from heresy. Protecting ourselves from false doctrine. There's nothing a matter with you checking things out and not accepting things. You have that. You know. God gave you, us some intelligence, didn't He? We should use it, that intelligence, to have enough smarts. So let's look things and check things out. There's nothing a matter with wanting to check stuff out, and finding out is what the Scripture says about things. So we'll go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning as we're going through these things that, Lord God, you're going to teach us, and Lord God, surely we don't want to become skeptics. We don't want to become people who Lord God, look negative at everything. But Lord God, as we understand around us, there is this spirit of Antichrist that has running dominant in many areas of our nation, Lord God. It has gotten into the churches and into government and into our schools and into our court systems and stuff. And Lord God, operating. And Father God, we need as believers be able to catch what's going on because, Lord, we do not want to be deceived. We want to continue to walk in the truth. And I want to thank you for the guarantee that you have. You know how to deliver the righteous. And I thank you that you're delivering us from these things. We're not going to be trapped in this junk. We're not going, because we're going to stay in the truth. Lord God, the Spirit that's in us is going to teach us and keep us on track. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.